This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Yeah, we're here, we're live. It is Monday, the 28th of August. Oh, isn't that nice? It is tax month. It's provisional tax time. Are you excited about paying SARS this month, everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the best thing. All right. Yeah, let's not start on that note. There's so much good stuff going on. There's so much interesting stuff going on. I watched that Alien movie last night on Mnet. It's called Arrival.
Oh, that looked odd.
Yeah, it was very odd. I don't know. By the end of it, I was really unsatisfied. There wasn't like war with the aliens or anything. I was thinking about it. Like, do you think humans could get our shit together if suddenly aliens did arrive and they were threatening?
No.
I mean, these ones weren't, but you never know, right? Do you think we could figure out our crap? Because I believe we would very quickly put up...
Oi,
what the hell's going on here? Senor? What's okay. happening with you?
Sorry, that's
Are you still hungover from Thursday?
You know, my aim was to not ever mention that day again.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that you... I told you, this is the only job in the world where you would actually be praised and we would want to know more. And we wouldn't go, oh my God, this is a problem, we've got to refer it to HR.
Oh Lord.
You know? As I was saying though, the aliens, if they did arrive... If we were threatened by aliens, do you think we would rally together and put our shit aside and figure out a way to save the Earth and save each other? Or do you think that we'd carry on fighting amongst ourselves?
No. Well, America would try to do what America does in movies. Then the rest of the world, then most of Europe would probably go, well, maybe we mustn't fight the aliens because we identify with the aliens. And yeah. Then North Korea would just...
North Korea, just remind me, we've got to get into that later on. I got into such an interesting conversation with someone yesterday who can't wait for, like, Kim Jong-un.
To what?
To just do something stupid.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, my goodness.
More on that story later. But first, I mean, what do you think, Mubs? You think people would get their shit together?
No, I don't think so. I think because our survival instincts would kick in, we'd... You know, it's a case of survival of the fittest.
So you think each man for himself?
Every man for himself.
People would just run to ground.
And a lot of people would be lost along the way.
Because Here's what happens. I mean, it's hardly a spoiler. The movie's been out for such a long time. And if you watched it last night, you're probably thinking about this stuff too. So what happens is that these aliens arrive and they're 12 ships or 9 ships. I can't remember how many. And they just kind of hover above the Earth. And then people, they try to kind of... communicate with these aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But the ordinary people on the ground start rioting and looting. The price of fuel goes sky high. The price of food goes sky high. Water starts being stockpiled. You know how people are. And that's not even the story.
Yeah.
Because they're more focused on how they communicate with these aliens. And the aliens, turns out, don't have any aggression and they're not looking for a fight at all. They've come to bring us superior technology, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the people... on the ground, the leaders and the military and all that kind of, they take a more responsible stance. But ordinary people just see this as an opportunity to loot.
Yeah, so
that
pretty,
sounds about right.
It's spot on, really.
Yeah.
And there are, I mean, like, reaction. I was just so, I thought, oh, for God's sake, you know, this is exactly what would happen.
Mm.
Like, really, where there's an existential threat. Like, we could be taken, we don't know what these things are. Could be taken out by these creatures.
Gareth, when Somalians come to this country, people loot and
yeah, that's true.
Do things. So I can imagine what actual aliens.
Yeah. So we don't know how to behave, right? So as soon as this shit happens, we start breaking into TV shops and like stealing TVs.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of that? Instead of everybody, okay, well, let's get together. Let's put aside our differences because now there's something from the outside that threatens all of us who walk upright.
Mm-hmm. I would have had hope.
Now we can figure our stuff out. I mean, obviously it's a movie and who knows, maybe we would do the right thing. I hold out some hope. Come on, don't scoff at it yet. Maybe there's just a chance that we would put aside the bullshit. Suddenly people would stop going, well, I'm different to those humans because of, and instead they'd go, I'm the same as those humans because of.
I don't know. You can correct me on this, but the world seems far too divided for this to ever happen, because America thinks they run things, right? But America hates itself right now.
Mm.
Europe doesn't know whether it's coming or going. So yeah. Then what else have you got? You've got South America that will loot and riot. Africa might do very much the same because it's divided. Australia are just too busy sticking to their own rules.
They're going to have rules.
And then Asia.
You want to engage with the aliens, you've got to do this.
You know what? Asia would probably get it right. Asia would get it right.
I don't think so.
And then they would come together and then them and the aliens would take over.
I don't think anyone would get it right. Look at what's going on in America at the moment. You've got these hardline Trump supporters on the one side, and you've got these hardline anti-Trump supporters on the other. America is more divided than ever. And I don't know that anybody would actually get this right. Like, where would the leadership come from?
Mm.
Maybe we'd need like a, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe we'd need like a Vladimir Putin or someone to say, okay, I'll handle this. You people shut up and behave yourself.
I say we'd need a Michael Jackson.
Really? You think a bit more love?
Michael Jackson would have a world anthem. He kind of would look like an alien.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be on the forefront of being able to communicate with
him
as well.
We don't have him anymore because he's dead.
See,
so,
that's why I don't have
Then in a situation like this, maybe you do need a trigger-happy Kim Jong-un with his nukes.
Oh yeah, this brings me onto this this really interesting discussion I had yesterday with someone. At this kid's birthday party. I started talking. This guy says to me, Kim Jong-un is really fucked in the head and we need him. So I said, why?
Oh.
He said, no, well, like a guy like that sending a nuke somewhere would be a serious wake-up call to people who think that soft issues, and there are a lot of soft issues that are bandied about in the world right now.
Mm.
You know, states' rights or identity politics or any of that shit. People love that stuff now, but you wait and see how quickly they realign their priorities under the threat of a nuclear attack. People will suddenly get their shit together. Like, you know, this is long before any of us were alive, but you know, somewhere around 1939, 1940, the whole world, whether you were involved in what was going on in Europe or not, because it became everybody's problem.
World
you knew, see. Like everyone went, whoa, Nazis, Jesus, we're going to deal with this shit, right?
Yeah.
Everybody went like that. Everybody said, from Japan to Australia to Canada to South Africa to, everybody was suddenly going, whoa, this is a serious problem. We've got to deal with this now. Because that would have steamrolled the hell over the rest of us if Hitler had won. That war certainly against Britain, first of all, because of all the colonies, and we would have been included in that. And then suddenly, when America entered the war and Japan entered the war and everybody else did, you think, whoa, okay, this is a serious thing. People are involved and we have to choose now. Either you're on the side of good or your side of evil. Full stop. It made it very simple. That was your choice. And if North Korea or America, let's say American decided to, because Trump's also crazy.
Yeah.
Let's say he pressed the button. And he he put a massive hydrogen bomb into North Korea. Boom. Like massive mushroom cloud and fallout all over the place. And like, this is a worst case scenario. But this guy was saying, well, you know what? It would help people to just stop with their bullshit and we could actually focus people. Because we're all so unfocused. Like, people care more about Game of Thrones than they do about doing their work today. I know there are going to be people who go to work today, in inverted commas work, who are actually just thinking about watching Game of Thrones tonight.
I watched it already.
Wow.
Yeah. How? You watched it this morning?
Well, I thought, okay, I'm getting on a plane today to go to Asia at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to sleep at about 3-4. Probably drunk by that stage. So I thought, we'll start my day a little bit earlier. So yeah, I woke up and watched this. I like all those fanboys.
Oh my goodness, what time do you have to wake up?
Well, the thing starts at 3.
Well, please don't do any spoilers.
No, of course I won't.
Okay.
Is it a longer episode?
Yeah, it's like an hour and 17 minutes.
Oh.
I won't say a thing because I'm not that kind of guy, but yeah, I watched the episode. I was sitting there thinking I'm like the biggest fanboy in the world now.
You're part of the cool kids club.
Do you watch it with headphones on?
No, it was me, Daniel, and Nauzes.
Oh, you
watching it like normal. Yeah.
Wow, so Daniela's going to be tired for work today as well.
Yeah, actually, I left. I didn't even say goodbye this morning. She was so fast asleep when I left.
Shame. And you're going straight to the airport?
So from here, I need to go and leave the show, buy something I forgot to buy yesterday, and then pack and go.
Okay.
Well, not unpack and go, but just pick up all my stuff. Because now I'm traveling with things that like record stuff. So I've got my camera, I've got my two small cameras like for time-lapse things, and I got my drone.
Right.
Like a lot to worry about. And there's all the charging cables, the USBs, memory sticks, and stuff like that.
Hmm.
So yeah.
Look at you.
Different kind of trip.
Organized. Ben's taking he's taking his drone and the whole lot.
Wow. Wow. The things I'm going to create this next week.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on you, and you'll check in on the show if you can.
Yeah, like the Wi-Fi will be strong. I'll be 8 hours ahead of you.
Okay, so you'll be in the future.
I'll be in the future. I can tell you about the future.
Thank you. You'll let all us right. know if they drop like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, because I'll be close to North Korea, so if they there do anything, go. I'll know first.
Mm-mm. You're not really that close to it.
I'll be closer.
You'll be in the same time zone.
Exactly,
almost.
That's what I meant, right. Yeah.
All right, well, let's catch up. Amanda went to a wedding, and she says she drank a lot of stuff. Mixed up. It was very amateurish by the sound of things, because she went from rosé to red wine. It was just, sounds horrible. How did you survive?
I don't even know. Like, I don't know. No more drinking. I drank enough for like 2 years.
Was it a good party?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Weddings are nice because people mostly know each other. So, you know, everybody kind of has history with each other, so they get along.
Yeah, but the bride was sick, so she didn't really party with us.
Do you want to get that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who it
is. Hello?
Hello? Oh, man, yeah.
This feeble ringtone, what is that? Like 1997?
Oh, now I have like 40,000 different phones back there.
How many phones are in that room? It looks like the... Command and Control Center for the President of the United States. And
actually, rightfully
so. Sorry about that.
No. It's like we interrupted Amanda in the middle of her job, yeah?
There was some, I don't know, some random call.
Okay.
No, but...
Crazy person?
Yeah, just like, is this Cliff Central? You called, yeah? So, yeah.
Is that what you said to them?
No, I was just like, yes, it is. And he's like, okay, thank you, bye.
Ugh, the other radio stations again.
All right, so you were saying the bride?
The bride was sick, so she didn't really party with us. But
that's not good.
Carried on.
What do you mean she was sick?
I don't know. She just wasn't well.
At her own wedding?
Yeah.
That sucks.
That is awful.
Imagine that.
I can think of nothing worse, actually.
It's your big day, and you're like, oh, I'm feeling terrible.
Oh, and you have the runs. Oh, imagine.
Oh, white dress.
Poofiness when you had to deal with that.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So, no, it was great, but then I had planned to go out afterwards to watch the Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, you're a big Conor McGregor fan.
Yeah, but I didn't make it, so I had to wake up. I woke up at like 4:30 to watch.
And then you wasted an hour and a half.
Okay, so like I'm annoyed actually. We can get into this a little later, but I am so annoyed actually.
Quick, Sia, just let us know. What's really annoying you?
No, I was one of those people who was sold this 3 a.m. dream.
Okay, stop right there again. And I say this with clenched jaw. I've been saying all of last week, hi, me, Ben, I do the sports show. It's at 5:30, Sia.
Yeah.
And you
want to
wake up at 3.
It's your own fault.
And I build up and you. I was like, I don't want to miss a
build
moment
up. There's
of
some
this.
Other guys hitting each other. You might as well go look at a car park in Benoni.
That's why you just drink when you're awake at that time.
Well, you
I
must
swear.
Just obviously drink when I do my sport as well.
So tell me, did anybody watch the thing live besides Sia?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't. I was fast asleep. I woke up at 9:30 on Sunday morning.
Well, I don't understand these people who have this badge on, like, oh, I didn't watch the fight.
Well, who cares?
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying you are, but I mean, you go on Twitter and it's like, well, I'm not watching this crap.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow, you're such an incredible person. You don't want to watch something that people do want to watch.
Yeah, it happens with Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah, I've come to realize this, my buddy. I am now somewhat more balanced.
Oh, yeah.
I watch things. I indulge it.
Ashley
good
says, of everybody in the world who I'd expect to wake up for Game of Thrones final, Ben is not on that list.
I know. I would have said the same about 24 hours ago.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch it tonight. I'm like, I was complaining about people who get to work today and don't care about work. I was thinking about it when I woke up this morning. But is that odd?
But I will say nothing.
Please don't.
Is this what?
Do you want me to say something?
The second to last episode of the season?
No, this was the last.
Why even bother? Because you'll probably wake up next Thursday at 5 in the morning to try watch it.
Hey, Ben gave me the funniest birthday card in the world. I'm just going to show you this.
All right. It was your birthday weekend, actually.
Yeah. You know you're old when you go to 40th birthday parties. I did that this weekend.
Have a NOS one with a picture of NOS Buerta holding a cake.
Oh, wow.
And then it says underneath, at the end of the day, it's your birthday.
Oh,
that's my favorite line on a card ever.
And then Ben and Daniela give me a, is this a, what is this, a Viagra type thing?
It's something, it's take your own responsibility in life, Gareth.
Oh. Dear Gareth, happy birthday. You're 40. You may need this now with an arrow and then this pill. Mm. And the pill says, take back your confidence and reclaim your sex life. And then there's a pill. Best of love. Lots of love, Ben and Daniela.
I don't know where I got
but
that
this
from.
This is such a cool card. With NOS Buerta. Where did you even find? I thought you'd made this. And then I saw on the back, these are actually...
No, it's an actual card.
Oh. Yeah, it says on the back here. Yeah. It's a blank inside NOS one. Copyright Jonathan Carter. Good man.
Hmm.
Wow. Very, very nice, Ben.
How was your birthday weekend?
It was good. It was very good. I didn't do anything on Friday night at all. And then Saturday, I had a little party for family, friends, and that kind of thing at my folks' place. My mother actually organized it without me even knowing.
See?
I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know who she'd invited or anything else. So that was nice. It was actually quite civilized. And then ended up going out with a friend of mine, Greg, Katerina, and Neil. And we just went out that evening. Wasn't too ridiculous.
Where'd you go?
Ended up at 86 in Ilovo.
Mm.
Which was fun. And you know what? I don't... It was one of those unplanned things. So it wasn't too late. It wasn't too hectic. Woke up on Sunday morning and then went to this kid's party yesterday.
Sure. So from an adult birthday party to the extreme opposite end.
This one was, I think, a five-year-old.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who was this five-year-old?
Also family friends.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Because my nephews were at the party on Saturday and at this one yesterday, so I saw quite a lot of them. And they were bouncing on trampolines and jumping castles and all kinds of crap yesterday, which was funny. Now look at this 1.5-year-old, the little one, my brother's kids. And they just, you think, that kid's got its whole life ahead of it. Who knows what... We were joking on Saturday about how that we're going to become robots one day. Like we'll be able to put our brains or our consciousness into robots and live forever, even if we don't get to organically live forever. Those kids, that's a definite possibility. You know, older people, I don't suppose that is entirely a possibility. But the rest of us, the younger ones, the kids... They definitely could live forever. If you think about that, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah, but remember Tesla Man and...
Elon.
You know, him and his ilk are constantly warning us about how that's such a bad idea the robots are going to take over.
I'll take my chances.
Is there going to be a world to live in, though? That's always the bigger question.
Once again, goes back to Michael Jackson.
What, because he started global warming?
No, we wouldn't have this problem if he was still alive.
I know. Such a sadness that he's gone. All right, let's get on with it. We've got lots to talk about this morning. We've got to get into the five things you need to know to start your day. This is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They have an excellent menu of amazing pizzas and pasta. I had so much pizza over the weekend. In fact, I think it was just pizza from Saturday night right the way through yesterday, even last night.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. That's why I'm feeling fat like a tick.
We're starting to do the pizza and salad combo.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's just the business. It is the business.
Now, I think today I'm going to have one of those San Siro salads.
Well, Gareth, it's the last time for the 2-for-1.
That's true. Today's the last Monday special. So if you go along to Colcacchio's, you can get the one pizza and you get the other one for free. The cheaper of the two pizzas is free. It's the last day that you can take advantage of that offer. So don't say I didn't warn you. Mubs, what do we need to know?
Well, the Western Cape Agriculture Department say that they have spotted a strain of bird flu on a commercial chicken farm in the province.
Uh-oh.
Around 10,000 chickens have died from the flu, and officials are then busy with culling the rest of the poultry on the property to prevent further spread. Don't panic, though, because we can't get bird flu from these chickens, apparently. That's according to Ellen Wind, who is the Western Cape MEC of Economic Opportunities, has reminded people that the flu does not affect humans. So we don't have to worry about it from a human consumption point of view. Basically, it's fatal for the chickens, but it is not passed on to humans.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
that doesn't make me feel better.
Oh, so what do you want then, Gareth?
Well, I don't want the bird. We can't be kidding. The bird flu must go. It must. The bird flu must fall. Don't like this.
Then start a Twitter campaign. I mean, that's how you get things.
It sounds to me like you're like, oh, well, it doesn't make us sick, so let the birds just get sick.
No, that's
so unkind, my buddy. Well, you're so speciesist.
Well, you know what? It's tough luck.
Oh,
you win some, you lose some, and that's all just right. The way it goes. Okay, now, the DA have launched a petition calling for an early emergency election. They did this via an online petition that went live yesterday, with the party encouraging South Africans to support it. They say that its failed motion of no confidence in the president earlier this month showed that most ANC MPs will do anything to protect a corrupt leader.
Right.
Phumzile Van Dam said that the governing party has lost South Africa's confidence. Mm-hmm. And so they are encouraging all of us to get behind this motion, which will mean that the public will be able to once again decide which party should lead this country.
All right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think that I think they're being unrealistic. I mean, it's going to take a little bit more for people to get desperate enough to turn their backs on the president. I'm thinking that we should give it until December. I mean, old Gogo Zuma, who's running for president against Cyril, between the two of them, what a choice. I mean, what a choice that we have these two. This is the best we can do.
It doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
No. The ANC is really... I'll tell you something. This had to happen. The ANC were... do you remember what kind of numbers they were pulling when Thabo Mbeki was president? Huge numbers. Unassailable majorities.
Mm.
Over 60 and over 65% in some places. Now, they're teetering around the 50s. You need this. This is a healthy thing for a multi-party democracy. So keep your eye on the big picture, which is that the ANC are losing votes left, right, and center. And these two candidates are not going to win those votes back. This is great news for all the opposition parties. They're going to have to form a coalition of some kind. And it seems to be working, like Justice Malala said last week. Said, you know what, this DAEFF stuff that everybody said was never going to work because they're too ideologically different. Bullshit. When it comes down to it, people want something that's practical. And practicality will always win out over ideology.
Well, you mentioned DAEFF, and I'll tell you what's potentially not working is DAUDM.
Oh, why?
The UDM leader, Bantu Helomisa, has said that they are very close to basically leaving the coalition that they have with the DA today already.
Really?
Yeah. This is after, on Thursday, a gentleman by the name of Mongameli Bobani, he had to face a vote of no confidence in him. And about 60 of his councillors voted in support of the motion of no confidence. And so what happened was he was taken out of his position.
Mm-hmm.
But the UDM are very upset about that, and they want him to be reinstated. And they have said that, you know, if the DA don't reinstate this guy because he's one of their guys, they're saying that, well, you know what, we'll just leave the coalition today. We'll leave today already.
Wow.
Yeah, so there seems to be a bit of love lost in that relationship.
Uh-oh.
We wait and see what will happen.
How many seats do the UDM have in Parliament? Can't be more than about 3 or 4.
Out of how many in total?
400?
Oh.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
That's tiny then.
Yeah, it's tiny. Anyway, look, I mean, the UDM's important because Bantu Holomisa is important. He speaks with authority. He's got a lot of credibility. That's the only reason we care about the UDM. I don't know one other member of the UDM, do you?
No, I don't.
No, it's just Bantu Holomisa. You'd really struggle to find another name.
The general.
Yeah, all right. That's all we've got time for in the five things you need to know, because it's not called the six things you need to know. Let's get to Ben and see what's happening in the sport. Here he is. You better suck this up, because Ben's not here from tomorrow. So get into it, right?
Yeah, well, Arsene Wenger might not be here tomorrow either.
What?
Well, I say that, but obviously I say it in jest, because he's a bit like Jacob Zuma, only that he's just slightly more palatable. But if you're an Arsenal fan right now, well, you'll disagree with me. Liverpool beat them 4-0 yesterday. 4-0. Yep. Arsenal Fan TV is going off the hinges today. So if you are bored, go onto YouTube, Arsenal Fan TV. All and right. You'll again see the usual working class anger, which defines Arsenal nowadays, sadly. That's what it is. Spurs, you know, they play at Wembley, and I've been saying for the last few weeks that no team can ever play their own domestic games at Wembley, and it just goes to show the curse continues. They were 1-0 up against Burnley. They drew 1-1, so Spurs are losing early points here in the season. It's not very good for them. Chelsea have beaten Everton, though. That was 2-1. Very good win for them. And Man United, well, another big win. They beat Leicester. So they are top of the log. They're looking great. They've scored 10 goals in 3 matches. Everything that Arsenal are not right now. So happy days for them. Also right. A good win for Man City. They beat Bournemouth. And locally in the MTN 8, that was... So, you know, first the season started with MTN 8, top 8 teams in the PSL. That round then got into the semi-finals. First leg, Cape Town City, they beat Bidvest Wits 1-0. So that's twice now. Benny McCarthy has beaten Gavin Hunt's team, all in the space of the first month of action. And in the other first leg, it was Supersport United 1, Maritzburg United 1. They'll now go into a second leg, and exciting times for those teams. Costa Semenya, she's won again, so every time she hits the track, she basically wins. And this time around, in the lesser-known 600 meters for women, she ran a world record time. 1 minute, 21 seconds. So
is the 600 meters, that's a thing?
I didn't realize until today. It has hardly ever run. Oh. But yeah, it was a world record run back in 1997 for the 600 meters, and she beat that over the weekend. So just another athlete for Costa who carries on to have an incredible year. On to the rugby, there was a good weekend for the Springboks. The game in Salta was a bit tatty at times, but what do you expect? I mean, basically, the Boks had to travel to the Brakpan of Argentina. They must have been hugely unsettled.
Is that what it is, the Brakpan of Argentina?
Did you see the helicopter shots of that place? This 1970s stadium with fences and barbed wire to keep people out and the players in.
Oh, my God.
It's rough. It's rough. So they run out there in their red jerseys, and they end up winning 41-23. You know, you got to think, like, Argentina, I know this whole thing about globalizing sport and getting more teams involved, but the Tri-Nations was a pretty fine and dandy thing. These RGs, they run in there, and they're causing fights. That rugby seems to be in the doldrums. They've plateaued. They're not really progressing anywhere because they haven't really got a decent enough structure other than the Jaguares, and they're not really going to contribute. You can't take a super rugby team and expect them to be good in the rugby championships. So the Boks left many, many points out there, but still, 41-23, that's a good run so far this year. The All Blacks, well, they were absolutely stunned by Australia early on. I think they were 17-0 down at one point, but they came back as expected. People were quite stunned that it got so close, but the thing about the All Blacks is they're actually just a bunch of dicks. They always knew they were going to win this. They toyed with Australia. Eventually, they won 35-29 with a late try right at the death. But Bernard Furley, well, he couldn't kick anything that day. I think he left about 7 points out there, and you just can't do that against the All Blacks. Into other news of... well, sports nature. Sure, the money fight was interesting. Hugely, hugely hyped that Conor McGregor was going to become a boxer in 6 months and beat Floyd Mayweather, who was a boxer for 26 years, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Wait, that makes...
Long time.
Wait, let's just call it 20 years. Let's just call it 49 fights, right?
No.
49 unbeaten fights. Conor McGregor, everything ticked a box as far as he looked like a boxer in a shadow boxing capacity. He went out there and, sure, he acquitted himself pretty well. But you know, people are saying that, you know, Floyd made sure that it went for 10 rounds. Other people are saying that Conor McGregor had no real game plan. What I would say from my uneducated viewpoint is the only chance that guy had of winning was knocking him out within 4 rounds. The moment it went past into the 5th round, stamina, muscle memory and experience, Mayweather was just playing with him after that. And McGregor never looked like he was going to land a punch. He was just toying with him. At one stage, he actually tickled his nose. He kind of put his fist up, touched his nose, yeah.
Wow.
So Mayweather goes 50-0, or if you count his ex-wife, he's now 51-0, and that is how he'll end his career as a boxer. Good for you. Yeah, cricket.
That's a low blow.
There was the World T20 Global League big auction. So all the players were thrown to, around. And everyone, now that dust has settled, I'll give you the highlights here. The Benoni Zalmi.
What?
Nobody knows what a Zalmi is still to
maybe
this day.
Amanda, do you know what a Zalmi is? Is that a Benoni word that we don't understand? Is something East Rand that the rest of us need to be educated on?
Oh, no, that's deep East Rand. Like, I wouldn't even say that word.
But a Zalmi just sounds like an exotic biryani. Like, they've done something with mince
in
there.
Wow, a Zalmi, huh?
Anyway, how's like that? I said a long time ago, these aren't South African-owned teams. We're just hosting this thing. We're not really in charge here. So they've got Graham Smith as their coach, Quinton de Kock as their marquee protea, and Jason Roy from England as the kind of marquee international player. The Bloom City Blazers, they've got Phil Simmons, the West Indians, as their coach, David Miller as the marquee protea, and Karen Pollard, that is your marquee international player. The Cape Town Knight Riders, that is Jock Cullis, the coach, Dumini is the marquee protea, and Chris Gale from the West Indies is the marquee international. The Durban Calanders, they are, that's Paddy Upson, he's a coach. Hashim Amler is the pro tier. And Files Morgan, he'll be the international choice there, which is quite cool for him because he actually went against England's best wishes of playing in this thing. He said, screw you guys, I want to go play and make some money. The Joburg Giants have got Suriname? No idea who this coach is. Gakisa Rabada will be the marquee pro tier. Brendan McCullum, the New Zealander. And Nelson Della Bay Stars, they got Mark Boucher as the coach. Imran Tahir is the marquee pro tier. And Kevin Peterson, he just keeps going on. He'll be the marquee international there. Right. The Pretoria Mavericks, they got Russell Domingo as a coach because he can't coach anywhere else. AB de Villiers is the marquee player for the pro tiers. And international guy, Dwayne Bravo. So each team's got about four or five international players. And the Stellenbosch Monarchs, they've got Stephen Fleming as coach, the New Zealander, who many believe probably should have been coaching the pro tiers, but anyway, different story. Marquee players, Faf du Plessis and Lasith Malinga is the marquee international player for the World T20 League thing. That is pretty much it for the sport. Australia, well, they're kind of battling against Bangladesh right now in their first test. They got 57 for 4 after getting Bangladesh 260 all out. And England, surprisingly, well, they were bowled out for 258 against West Indies. West Indies scored 427. Currently, England fighting back 171 for 3. And Dustin Johnson beat Jordan Spieth in the playoff for the Northern Trust Open yesterday. That is it for the sport.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Ben. Let's get into the money with Anthea. It's time to see what's happening in the economy. Of course, first thing on a Monday morning, we don't mess around. But first, another beautiful version of the song for Anthea. It's almost the disco version, right?
Yes. With
an accent. She works hard for the money. For it, honey. All right. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right. What do we have?
Well, really a dislocation between the economy and the stock market.
Tell me.
Because Friday was the fifth straight day of gains on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Wow. We were up about 0.1%. For the week, we were up 2.6%. Value traded $1.4 billion, which is about 19 billion rand. So all good, but then we also had the retailers reporting and not so good. So just back to the stock market quickly. Resources were up about 63 basis points. Financials were up 0.25%. And industrials were down about 0.1%. Did you buy Steinhoff?
I did, Friday morning when you told us to.
Well done, because it ended 3% higher, which is not great. I thought it would have done
a bit
better.
It's not a bad start.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm looking for like a 10-15% bounce. So more to come, I hope.
Holding thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Volume in the stock is huge. 3.5 times average daily volume traded on Friday, which is not as big as Thursday, which was 18 times average daily volume. And then the iron ore names had a big rally. Iron ore spot was much higher in China on Friday morning. So African Rainbow Minerals was up 6%. Kumba was up 3.5%. By the way, this reminds me, African Rainbow Mineral, you know, is owned by Patrice Motsepe. Mm-hmm. And he recently said that it looks like he's going to list his investment holding company, which is called ARC, A-R-C, African Rainbow Capital.
Okay.
The interesting thing is I think he'll list on the JSE. He's looking to raise between 3 and 5 billion rand on the listing. But he actually also owns a stake in the secondary exchange called A2X. You know we have more than one stock exchange in South Africa at the moment. Eh?
People don't know that.
Yeah. They currently have access to 17 billion rand. So to raise another 3 to 5, I'm not sure what the point is. I guess what it does when you list a company is give it a rubber stamp, really. You know, because when you go through the listing, it's actually quite a big deal. You have to tick all the boxes. You have to go through corporate governance. You pay a million rand a year just to be listed. And you have to have sponsors like the Guptas found out with Oak Bay. So it's quite a big deal. It's quite an expensive exercise as well. But the point of being listed on the stock market is that it gives you access to capital. And we always talk about companies doing capital raises, issuing more shares, getting more money in to spend on growing their business. So I suppose that is part of the deal. You know, I think of Long for Life, they raised only 2 billion rand, right, which I thought was quite small.
Mm-hmm.
But subsequently, they've grown it to over 5 billion rand. So I suppose that's the point of being listed on the stock market.
All right, before we get into any specifics, a lot of people have been asking me to ask you about cryptocurrencies, about Bitcoin and all that stuff. Now, I know you. This is not something that you want to talk about in a hurry because it's not something that you don't put yourself out there as being an expert in this field.
Definitely not. In fact,
but I again, like friends of mine over the weekend, and we always get a slew of messages here from people who've done really, really well out of Bitcoin and all the rest of it.
There are also people who have done badly. They just don't.
They don't talk about that. It's like gamblers who don't tell you about their losses; they tell you about their wins.
Derivatives traders—they're pretty much the same.
All right. So you don't think it would be worth taking a gamble in this stuff?
I'm going to leave that entirely up to you. So I think it's fun. Like, I think, why not? So, and there's a couple of things here. So either you can buy into a blockchain company,
uh-huh,
or you can go into the mining, or you can buy straight cryptocurrency Bitcoin. I don't, you know, and I've had people try to explain this to me, and I don't really understand the fundamentals. Like, I understand the fundamentals. Like, I understand that people say there's only so much, there's a nice ledger, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I don't see the excitement about it. Like, I don't. So I think everyone says that there's only so much Bitcoin that can be mined. That's such bullshit. That's rubbish. Because if they decided tomorrow that they wanted to release more Bitcoin, they absolutely could.
But who's they? I mean, isn't it everybody
owns? And that's the other problem with this. It's there's a name for this guy that, or there are three or four of them that hold the code for the cryptocurrency, for Bitcoin, right? And it's all so secretive. And
but I thought that it was a very public ledger that you couldn't. No one owns that code, absolutely. That it's a
somebody has to own the code.
It's owned by everybody who has Bitcoin. And you all double-check each other the whole time.
No, you don't go in and code when you buy Bitcoin. There are four people who own the code separately between them. Somebody has to have the lines of code that makes this thing run. And that say there are only a million Bitcoins. Somebody has to have it. That's the big mystery. That's the big rubbish story that I'm not buying.
Okay.
Is that, oh, it's not owned by anyone. It absolutely is.
I've fired her up now. Look at her. Jeez, we didn't expect this morning, right?
Jeez, and she's setting us straight.
Anyway, look, I put you on a diversion there, but the real story is back on the stock market. We're talking about retailers and everything else. Let's get back to that.
Okay, let's talk Woolworths and Massmart. They both reported last week. Woolworths sales growth was pretty weak. 3% growth. Adjusted headline earnings per share was down 7.9%. So this is really not looking good for Woolworths. I mean, there have been a couple of things. Not only is the South African economy difficult, but they've had a few issues in Australia as well, you know, with their David Jones brand and a couple of other things that they've launched. And last week we were talking with ShopRite's results, where the ShopRite was saying that they wanted to eat Woolworths lunch, you know, in other words, offer branded or unbranded or higher quality goods that the Woolworths shopper would go into Checkers and purchase.
Uh-huh. You think that'll work?
Well, I don't know. It feels like it is working. It feels like people are shopping down. People don't have the money. Woolworths is seen as a luxury brand,
mm-hmm,
and people don't have the money.
Yeah, but Anthea, can you imagine going into your book club and one of your mates has spotted you coming out of a ShopRite and they only go to Woolworths. Whoa. It's got nothing to do with the products.
The audacity.
I'd be like, did you see Regina last week?
How dare you tell me I go to a book club? What is wrong with this man?
I'm talking about general Woolworths shoppers. Can you imagine one of them walking out with like labelless Chardonnay?
Did you
they would
see?
Get absolutely lynched at the next meeting.
So I think the entire South Africa, the entire consumer population is actually in trouble, and that everyone is shopping down. So I don't think that judgment is still there anymore. In fact, I think it's the other way around. Now when you go, you come out of Woolworths with your most expensive meat in the country by kilogram, people are looking at you going, oh, really? I don't think anyone believes that you can actually afford it. You were going to say something.
Yeah, well, same goes for cars. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly the same thing.
No one's going to start buying down if they can still just keep stretching and get that BMW.
Yeah, well, there you go. The consumer.
People aren't as smart as you, Anthea.
Sadly so.
Thanks, Ben. And then Massmart's another one of those stories. Unfortunately, they have a lot of discretionary spend, you know, Dion Wired, Jumbo, Game. And people are not doing that anymore. People don't have money to buy new TVs. So instead of changing their TV, how often do people change TVs? 3 years, 5 years?
I don't know. I've had mine for 6, and I certainly am not going to spend more money on a TV.
If it still works and it's the exact same function, then
I know people who still have those old cathode ray ones. They're not going to change those.
You know, the old faithful.
That's not a money thing. That's a sentiment about. Thing. Yeah,
That's really deep antiques. Issues.
Yeah. So Massmart sales growth was up 0.5%, so 0.5%, but the bottom line was down 10.7%. So huge declines in profitability in the retailers at the moment. And the other thing that we're seeing quite apparently with the retailers is that everyone is discounting, so everything's on sale, so that they can get people into the store to purchase. But what the only thing that does for the retailers is actually squeeze their margin. So they're trying to get people in to spend money, but they're not making that much in profit, unfortunately.
All right, let's talk about NSPAS and the AGM.
Because this is fun.
Yeah.
So this is something called activist investing or activist shareholding, right? So, and this is important to all of us now because we're all hashtag investors and we all own shares in companies, which means that we can now go to an AGM and vote. We can, ahead of the AGM, write to the secretary of the company and put something on the agenda, such as remuneration, which is always a big thing. Should these CEOs get paid so much? I mean, so what's his name? Bob van Dijk. He took home last year $2.2 million, so 28 million rand, 28.5 million.
That was salary?
No, it's a combination of salary and a little bit of extra shares.
But that doesn't sound as extreme as some of the...
No, not like Whitey Bison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their CFO and their CIO took home 17 and 34 million rand respectively. So the question is, should they be paid so much? And it's all about corporate governance and are they doing the right thing for the shareholder? That's one issue, remuneration. The other issue is, should they be extracting Tencent out of Naspers, listing it separately as a separate entity and creating value? Do you remember Bidvest Bidcorp? When they did that, they created billions of rands worth of extra value for the shareholder. So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think Koos Becker, who's the chairman of Naspers, put everyone on their place on Friday. I mean, there were a couple of things he says. So on the issue of corporate governance, he says, it sounds wonderful. If you want to be the best soccer team in the world, it is important to wash your hands after using the bathroom. But will you win? Not unless you train the hardest, recruit the best, and are merciless in your ambition. Once you have won, then you can look at things. If you lose, the best governance in the world can't help you. And it's like, so it's a question like I want to pose to people, like, you're a shareholder. Would you go to an AGM and say, well, I'm a shareholder in this company and I'm not happy with what's going on here. I'm going to vote against, for example, maybe Bob van Dijk and Vasily and Mark, the top guys at Naspers, weren't earning that much. But would you have gone to the ShopRite AGM last year and said to Christopher, so no, you cannot pay Whitey Bison 100 million rand?
Yeah.
Would you have?
I wouldn't. I'm not an activist shareholder. No, hell. Let them pay what
they... But you have the right to. So why?
Yeah, it's none of my business, though. If the profits are coming in from a shareholder point of view, then I suppose the guy's doing his job, then he must be paid properly. And if it's a certain, however they figure that money out, that's about them managing the business.
There are two great activist investors in the US. In South Africa, it doesn't work that well because you have to be able to go short the share and trust that you're going to make money. And one is Bill Ackman from Pershing. I think I might have mentioned him before.
You have?
He has a tagline. Do you remember his tagline? The only thing bigger than his hedge fund is his ego.
Okay.
So he started Pershing in 2004 with $54 million, took it all the way up to $29.7 billion. I mean, that's worth being an activist shareholder for. And basically, he walks into companies and he says, I think you can extract value either by buying another company, extracting one from the other, combining, consolidating. So like a couple of things, you know, he's had a big hit with Allergan, which is a pharmaceutical, and Valeant. So he pushed for the merger to happen. But guess what? Then Valeant, I mean, so he made, I don't know what it was, $2.6 billion just on that deal alone.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, maybe you do want to be an activist shareholder.
All right.
But then he had another issue when Valeant had an issue with their pricing of their drugs, and the share fell by, I think it was like 9% in one day. And of course, you can imagine he lost a lot of money. So there's always that like kind of balance between what to do, what not to do. And actually, the other thing that Bob van Dijk said, which I must tell you about Naspers, is because people think because Tencent is worth 130% of Naspers. So I told you, Naspers is trading at a discount. If you just take the Tencent value, it should be a 3,500 rand share, basically. And Bob van Dijk said that I have to remember these numbers. I think it was 2004. People were telling him that he needed to sell his Tencent stake because it was now worth $1 per share in Tencent. 5 years ago, they were saying he had to sell his stake in Tencent. Naspers had to sell this because they'd made so much money. It was now trading at $45 per share. And then again, recently, they said to him, now you really have to sell your stake in Tencent because it's $325 a share. So basically, I mean, this activism shareholding, isn't it great that we're shareholders, but
we don't have to get involved. That's the best part. You know what? Sometimes doing nothing is the right thing to do.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Passive investor.
We don't see this going downhill anytime soon, so let's stick around with Naspers.
We're not going to go to the edge. I'm sure there are companies where you would want to go and vote and say kind of what is the issue here.
Can't imagine better ways to spend my time. all right. Lastly, Janet Yellen, you spoke about her the other day. She gave some big speech at Jackson Hole, which is always a massive thing. People love to pay attention to these Jackson Hole speeches.
All the central bankers.
Yeah.
Very exciting central bankers.
Yeah, such exciting people.
Actually, it was a non-event as I thought it was going to be. She really gave away absolutely nothing. You know, this is probably her last Jackson Hole, right? So I think her contract ends in February or March.
Okay.
And then it's up to Trump to elect the next U.S. central banker. I know, right?
Uh-oh.
We're all very nervous about it. We do think it's going to be a traditionally Goldman Sachs type person, or at least a Wall Street person.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, Mario Draghi did speak up. He's still talking about tapering and not supporting the balance sheet and kind of, you know, not buying as much bonds as before, but he's still worried that there is inflation. So I don't think he's going to stop this quantitative easing immediately. So we're okay still to go. I mean, I think the euro was incredibly strong after he spoke. Oh, sorry, weaker after he spoke on Friday.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's just nothing there, nothing to see, really. Very boring Jackson Hole.
All right, well, I'm glad I wasn't there either. Shareholders, activist shareholders meetings and AGMs, and then these Jackson Hole talks. I can skip both of those.
The activist shareholders gets quite exciting, actually.
No,
they?
Come on. No, it's not right. Exciting. Come on.
All right.
What are we? This is ridiculous.
We've got Game of Thrones, right?
Are you excited?
I am.
You do? You like this?
Yeah.
Yay.
Very excited.
It's not just us,
Can't
Mubs.
Wait.
See? It's not just us, the childish people who care about these TV
shows. No. If it gets Anthea's stamp of approval, then I'm happy.
We don't have to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to Said by Sia next. Thank you, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Thanks.
There we go, Anthea Gardner. Sia, what wisdom do you have for us first thing on a Monday morning? People who need a little pick-me-up.
Well, Mr. Gareth Cliff, the internet.
Oh.
So many perks.
Uh-oh. It's what has the internet done?
Listen, it's the exact reason you're even hearing this now.
Right.
And as connected as we are because of it, you know, there are over 2 billion users of the internet worldwide. Uh-huh. There's still about 4 billion people around the world who don't have access to the internet. So I decided, let's actually take a bit of a spin on companies like Google and Facebook and Elon Musk's SpaceX. We often don't shine a light like this on them, but they're actually doing great work in being able to give more people around the world access to the internet. Now, apart from Instagramming to your heart's content, the internet actually can literally save lives in some cases. So there's great innovation actually happening to combat this. So for example, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, he actually aims to blanket the entire Earth's atmosphere with thousands of orbiting satellites.
Right.
So he actually originally proposed that he'll need about like 4,425 of these satellites to go around the entire world to be able to form this global communications network that would deliver data to devices on the ground. Now, this is slated to launch in 2019, and you really think about how much that would change lives all across the world.
First of all, it would count out a lot of these cell phone networks. We wouldn't need them anymore. And second of all, it would make it possible for poor people and rural people all over the world to actually have access to the rest of us.
Exactly.
I've always said that the number one way that we will civilize and drag the backward parts of the globe into the 21st century is by allowing rural families and rural communities to have access to information and access to the internet and access to learning materials and all that stuff.
Yeah. You think about like South Asia and you think about Africa as well. You know, the DRC,
right,
with this great population, only 3.8% of their population though, 3.8% have, mm-hmm, access to the internet. So that'll be a massive, massive game changer. Facebook actually tried something like this last year, but their rocket, which was taking these satellites up to the atmosphere, actually
Exploded. Yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't exactly go well.
No.
But there's another company as well who's trying to get a drone called Aquila up into our atmosphere. Now, this is solar-powered, an autonomous internet-delivering drone with a huge wingspan, which is actually larger than a Boeing 737. So that, jeez, should give you like some great picture of, right, how big this thing is. And the plan is to deploy a fleet of these high-altitude drones that would communicate with each other via laser. My goodness.
Lazy.
Oh, yeah. And to fly for months at a time. So they're thinking of like this 90-day goal. So most recently, they tried this out in June and it completed a 1 hour, 46-minute flight. But ultimately, they wanted to go as far as 90 days. And then lastly, there is a company called Loon who flies out these little balloon navigations, ideally, to up into the atmosphere as well. They send out tens of thousands of these balloons.
Yeah.
And for example, they did this in Peru, which was recently devastated by floods earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they were able to help out by actually giving out internet to people in those areas. So really, apart from Snapchatting and apart from the great filters and updating your social media, you think about how internet could change people's lives and to save people as well. And, you know, this is a step in the right direction. So kudos to all of these companies who are bringing innovation.
Well, there's something to be excited about this Monday morning in case you woke up and you got out the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah,
some people sleep against a wall so they can only get out of the wrong side of the bed. Have you noticed that?
Jeez.
Everybody says that, like everyone has space to get out of the right side of the bed when you only have one.
Hey now.
Stop beating yourself up. There are things happening. There are going to be satellites overhead one day that will connect you to data. Yay!
Which also means the price of data lowering. Hey now.
It might just be free. That's where we're headed.
A lot of good stuff.
Right. In the meantime, let's get your day off to a good start. You can wake up this morning, smile, and we'll get you some news next. All right? You're going to get a fresh cup of coffee and a serving of news with Mabali Moloi next. Don't go anywhere.
This is CliffCentral.com.